I'm Deanne Penn with UN News. 6 months since the military coup in Myanmar, the UN and partners are doing their utmost to help protect the country's people and show solidarity with their plight amid mass displacement linked to deadly clashes with government forces and the ongoing COVID-19 crisis. That's the message from the organization's top acting humanitarian coordinator in the country, Ramanathan Balakrishnan, who's been speaking to UN News' Daniel Johnson.
Well, it has been 6 months since the military seized control of the government in Myanmar, and Myanmar continues to be in a state of political, human rights, and humanitarian crisis. In fact, the situation, if any, has only gotten worse. The situation in the country is characterized now by instability and a deteriorating socioeconomic and security situation. And to add to that, we have a raging third wave of COVID-19. So armed conflict between the Myanmar security forces and the ethnic armed organizations has intensified in several ethnic minority areas, including in the states of Shan, Chin, and Kachin. These hostilities have actually resulted in a displacement of more than 200,000 people. Also, we continue to see worryingly widespread use of lethal force, as well as series of violations of human rights by the security forces.
You've mentioned 200,000 people displaced in the 6 months since the coup. So your current assessment of humanitarian needs is what? It's a vast country, but how do you tackle that one? Where do you start?
Even before the coup started, the humanitarian canvas of Myanmar was quite large. According to the Humanitarian Response Plan of 2021, in January, there were 1 million people, including internally displaced people in Rakhine State, in need of urgent humanitarian assistance. This number has only swelled. You know, following the coup, additional 2 million were identified as those in urgent need of humanitarian aid, and these were initially largely in the urban areas of Yangon, Mandalay, etc. However, since the intensification of clashes, we have had more number of internally displaced people, and also the worsening socioeconomic and the livelihood situation is all pushing, even as we speak, tens of thousands of people into the humanitarian space.
You've outlined the scale of the crisis. You've mentioned the socioeconomic problems, which are no doubt exacerbated by COVID. On a day-to-day level, what does this mean for people? Can they get enough to eat?
According to a WFP report, there is increasing risk of millions of people in Myanmar facing food security issues as we go further into the year. This has also been corroborated by a recent study, a food and agricultural organization. So what this has meant is that there has been, since the coup, there has been increase in the prices of basic commodities for many people. And this has also resulted in a reduction in the nutrition value of the food basket that people usually take as they substitute the regular food with cheaper and more readily available food items. On the health system has been severely compromised since the military coup. And this has meant disruption in basic health services to millions of people across the country. This has only worsened further the impact of the COVID-19, the third wave that the country is currently reeling under. In addition to that, children have been out of school for more than a year on account of COVID-19, and more recently, school teachers and professionals participating in the civil disobedience movement.
And staying with children, we have heard reports, we know they've been wounded and killed. How are you communicating the responsibility of all parties, and particularly the authorities, to protect them?
Killing of the children, you know, has been one of the saddest part and one of the most appalling part of the coup. To date, we know that at least 60 children have been killed, and many of them have been killed with live ammunition. They have been shot with live ammunition. And this is totally appalling, and it goes against the rights of the child. Not only the killing of the children, but there also be arbitrary detention of children has also happened. And estimates indicate that among half the number of people detained are children and young people. UNICEF, one of the leading UN agencies on children, has time and again condemned in the strongest possible terms against the use of force against children, including the use of live ammunition and arbitrary detention of children. And it's called on security forces to refrain from violence and to keep children and young people out of harm's way. So one thing which I would like to remind here is that Myanmar is bound to uphold all children's rights as enshrined in the Convention of the Rights of the Child, CRC, and also the Myanmar Child Rights Law enacted in 2019.
Maybe we could just turn quickly to what the United Nations and partner organizations are doing concretely to support the people of Myanmar.
The main focus of the United Nations in Myanmar has been along two axes. A, to deliver humanitarian assistance and protection services to those in need, and to respond to the current wave of the COVID-19. In addition, the United Nations is continuing to work with people and communities to improve their livelihoods and build resilience and support access to justice to the extent possible by preserving the democratic space as well. Of course, since the military takeover, the United Nations in Myanmar has limited its engagement with the de facto authorities and is primarily focusing on humanitarian assistance and also implementing its program through non-state actors, including civil society organizations and the private sector.
Thank you. And you did mention COVID, the crisis, which has deteriorated rapidly in Myanmar. Do you know the level of current needs and what could the international community do to help?
To start with, I have to underline that the current outbreak of COVID-19 is expected to have devastating consequences for the health and population and for the economy in Myanmar. Over the past week alone, the daily positivity rate has reached as high as 40%. So access to hospital beds and oxygen is limited due to insufficient supplies and manpower. So there is an immediate need for scaling up of the provision of critical health services and COVID-19 vaccination efforts. The UN country team is working to address the oxygen shortage through the procurement of oxygen concentrators and other necessary equipments through multiple channels. In addition, efforts to accelerate COVID-19 vaccination, including its availability, is also underway. United Nations Agency, World Health Organization, is leading efforts to reoperationalize the testing, and COVID-19 treatment centers are being established with available resources and capacities.
Finally, what would your message be for the people of Myanmar? And you have mentioned that you're in contact with civil society, but what is it that you really want to tell them in terms of perhaps reassurance that you're still with them?
My message would be the UN in Myanmar continues to stand in solidarity with the people of Myanmar, respecting their will. The UN will continue to call out human rights violations and is committed to stay and deliver life-saving humanitarian assistance to the people of Myanmar, in addition to strengthening the COVID-19 response. It's one of the major problems that the UN is facing and its partners are facing is the access. This includes cumbersome travel authorization process, limited access to certain parts of country, on account of the security issues, as well as the ongoing disruptions in the banking systems, limiting the ability to transfer funds to UN partners and thus delivering humanitarian assistance in a timely manner. But despite this, the UN has continued to deliver life-saving humanitarian assistance in Yangon, Mandalay, and also in Rakhine and in many parts of the country. However, the response efforts are also constrained for Myanmar. The humanitarian response plan for Myanmar is currently funded at only 28-30% of its overall envelope of about $275 million. And this is one major area which needs to be addressed by donor governments as we are seeking desperately to increase the humanitarian assistance to the people of Myanmar.